Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, as I understand, the workers at Amazon in Bessemer, Alabama, are casting their ballots. It should be by the end of the month, I guess. Maybe we'll get a decision then. And look, I'm hopeful. This is one of those moments that, I'll be honest, at the beginning, I'm like, I know it's outside of Birmingham. I know that's a reasonable Democratic stronghold. I know that Labor has a good presence in Birmingham because of the steel mills. I get all of that. But, you know, my mind was, it's still Alabama. And early on, I'll be quite honest, I gave it almost no chance. But the fact that right now you've got a sitting U.S. president saying, hey, every worker should have the right to choose. The fact that you've now got all of this momentum as we're talking about the PRO Act, I'm much more optimistic of the outcome. And this could be a historic moment as one of the biggest, as the biggest employer in the country, you know, finally has a union presence. And here to share some thoughts on, well, what's going on down in Bessemer, Alabama, and the horrible tactics that are being played on the workforce. I've asked John Logan to come talk with us. John is a professor at the San Francisco State University. He's also the director of their Labor and Employment Studies program. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. Glad to be on.
So do you, am I off base here in how I kind of laid this out? Because I'll tell you, early on, I wasn't so, I'm like, I'm feeling a little bit better now.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, I agree with the way you framed it. So, I mean, if we're to compare it with some of the other big recent organizing campaigns in the South, and, you know far better than me, most of them have resulted in defeat for the unions. UAW had a big campaign, 2017, Nissan. And as you said, you know, company ran a very aggressive campaign, but there's all of this sort of outside anti, you're really up against the conservative power structure in the community there. So it was very different. But as you said, this just feels like a different moment, you know, partly for the reasons you said. I think it makes a huge difference, you know, to have a president who's not only unabashedly pro-union, but actually was prepared to make a video, tweet a video, which was clearly directly referencing the organizing campaign at Amazon and calling out Amazon's anti-union tactics and a couple of other things, which I know you're very well aware of. You know, the UAW campaign a few years ago and some of the other organizing campaigns in the South have been framed as not just struggles for labor rights, but also struggles for civil rights, you know, with a good reason. I mean, there's, you know, and, you know, the struggle for racial equality and the Black Lives Matter theme has been a very big part of the campaign here. But we're in a different moment, you know, compared with 2017. You know, after the last year and the summer of protests, I think the message about how this really is a struggle for racial justice has resonated much more than in previous organizing campaigns in the South. And third, the RWDSU is a union that has a very long and deep tradition of supporting civil rights causes, of representing Black workers in the American South, and is very well established in Alabama, you know, in poultry plants, in other workplaces in Alabama and in neighboring states. So, you know, and this is not a criticism of the UAW, but to compare it with that Nissan campaign, one aspect of the anti-union campaign was to say, this is a Detroit union. This union knows nothing about Mississippi, you know, is they're outsiders, you know, they have no roots here in the South and representing Southern workers. You simply can't do that with the RWDSU. You know, it has, as I say, very, very long and deep and proud history of supporting civil rights, supporting racial equality, and of representing tens of thousands of workers, right, Black workers in the American South. So all of those things, I think you're right, do make this seem different. You know, normally, you know, we kind of learn to be sort of pessimistic about these things, but I think, you know, all of that combined. But as you said, I mean, they're up against Amazon. They're up against one of the most powerful corporations on the planet, and Amazon has run a very aggressive and relentless anti-union campaign. It's done all of the things we come to expect from well-funded anti-union campaigns, but it's also done a bunch of other stuff that, frankly, we haven't encountered. It's going to be really tough.
Yeah, I mean, all of the things that you expect—the flyering, the captive audience meetings, the constant beratement—but they've gone above and beyond in their PR. They've hired social media influencers to go out and talk about how wonderful it is. They've got people writing books. They've gone and taken this much. They've taken it global as opposed to just in the workplace.
Yeah.
And it's one of these moments where, I keep coming back to this thought my grandfather said to me years ago, that if a rich guy's going to take a buck out of his pocket to tell you you don't need something, you better spend two to get it. So if the richest man on the planet is telling you you don't need this union, I figure out exactly how do I get that, because he knows something that I don't.
No, and I think, if you contrast the situation about what a victory for the RWDSU would mean for the labor movement. Now, as you said, I mean, this campaign is being watched not just, amongst Amazon employees. I mean, it would give a huge, huge boost to organizing at Amazon in, say, in New York or Minneapolis or in California. All across the country, they're watching it, but not just Amazon workers. I mean, I think it's no exaggeration to say the entire labor movement, and in fact, the entire country is kind of tuned in to what's happening in Bessemer with this organizing campaign. But also globally, for the past several years, I've been going to these Amazon Global Union Alliance meetings, and I can tell you that unions are trying to organize at Amazon in the United Kingdom, in Germany, in France, in Italy, in Spain, in Poland, in the Czech Republic. They're all really tuned in to what's happening right now in Bessemer, and they're all really interested. So, this would both, if it were to succeed, it would be a tremendous inspiration for the entire labor movement, but particularly for unions trying to organize at Amazon. And I think it would have some potentially, monumental impact on labor organizing in this country. But from Amazon's, if the RWDSU loses, on the other hand, that would be a huge disappointment. But from Amazon's perspective, it would be an absolute catastrophe. I mean, they are prepared to do anything. There's no amount of money they're not prepared to spend on lawyers, on consultants, on, as you said, on media influencers, on anyone that they can find that can help them defeat this union campaign. I mean, they're throwing everything at this, the most expensive anti-union lawyers, the most expensive anti-union consultants, all of the tactics that we see, some of the stuff that we hadn't really seen before individually might seem quite trivial, but it does give you a sense of a company that's prepared to do and try anything to defeat the union campaign. So we read about things like, anti-union flyers inside the bathroom stalls, or we read about, getting the city to change the traffic light patterns so that, traffic goes more quickly when it's leaving and entering the facility, so that union organizers have less time to speak to people as they come into work or as they leave work. Or we hear that Amazon has installed its own mailbox on site because it's a mail-in ballot, as you said, ends on March 29th. So, and instructing people, here's how you vote no, and we want you to vote our ballot box.
So you can they can watch.
Yeah, exactly. And some other stuff, just weird stuff, like through a third party contractor, they've employed a bunch of people, some of whom are recently released from prison, and it's great that they have jobs. It's just a pity that Amazon is employing them as human billboards to walk through the facility with anti-union messages attached to them. I mean, it's just sort of weird stuff, you know? I mean, how often have we read about these tactics, in previous anti-union? You think you've heard everything, if you study these things for a few years. And then so many times with this campaign, I've been reading things and I thought, oh, never come across that before, So, but yeah, I mean, the consultants that that you mentioned, I've written a short piece about the consultants. They're absolutely notorious, consultants that have been involved in many, many high profile and many super aggressive anti-union campaigns just recently. And one they actually have two different consultant firms now. They're paying, tens of thousands of dollars per day just on these consultants. I mean, when this campaign is over, I think there's no doubt that Amazon will have paid millions directly to consultants and lawyers. But of course, I mean, that's a pittance
Yeah, it's
to
pennies, but what they're going to
Bezos.
end up saving.
So these same consultants, or one group of them, ran the anti-union campaign, which was a successful union campaign at Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina, which was a few months ago. It was the largest union victory at a hospital since 1975, I believe. So, I mean, that, but, I was in touch with the organizers during that campaign. They were preparing at the time, the nurses were preparing for to treat COVID patients, and they were being hauled into captive audience meetings as they prepared to treat COVID patients. I mean, just truly unbelievable stuff. So, anyway, the same consultants, Russ Brown, Rebecca Smith, from Road Warrior Productions, are also involved in the Amazon campaign. They've hired a second group of consultants now, Labor Information Services, also known as the Burt Group, which I've written about in the past. They're based in Malibu, California. So, as I said, they're just clearly there's nothing that they're not prepared to do in order to try and stop their workers having a free and fair choice on whether or not to join. To organize with their RWDSU.
Yeah, I want to go back to the captive audience meetings for a minute because I don't think a lot of people quite understand what that means. You're one person being called into a room with, two, three, four, five people, who knows how many, and constantly berated about, what you think, how you're going to vote, and all the horrible things that unions could do, or the horrible things that could happen to you. And I always get the sense of they keep telling you the things that they're going to do to you if you have the audacity to do something, but just not in that frame. And for me, again, if you pull me in, and this is where it's always been weird to me, if you pull me in and you beat me like that and you harass me like that, I'm gonna go against you every time. What is it about us as a society now that has turned into? Now we repel and identify with these people.
Well, I mean, I think what you said at the beginning was right on the mark. I mean, I've written about these things. I've written about them for U.S. audiences. I've written about them for overseas audiences. And the problem is, you talk about captive audience meetings, but that doesn't often really doesn't capture the drama of the situation. I mean, unless you've actually been forced to go through these things, if you speak to workers who have, been in a workplace with a super aggressive, relentless anti-union campaign, where day after day after day, they have been dragged into these anti-union meetings. They will tell you they felt terrorized. They felt traumatized by the end of it. And so it is very difficult, to capture. And as you say, I mean, at Amazon have been calling them. We use this term Orwellian. But they've been calling them education sessions. You go for union education sessions so that you can make an informed choice on union. And we know that's nothing. The meetings are simply full of misinformation and anti-union propaganda. They're there to confuse workers. They're not there to inform workers, And so, yeah, I mean, it is very, very difficult for ordinary workers, who are not sort of politicized beforehand. Who've never worked in a unionized environment, they go in there And they're told that they're being educated, that they're being given the facts, but almost everything they're told is either factually incorrect or, as I say, simply designed to mislead. I mean, as you know, one of the major themes in the Amazon anti-union campaign is all about, you're going to be throwing away dues money, to this outside business, this outside organization that they call a business, that uses it for its own purposes, and you won't be able to speak directly to management, and all of the usual anti-union tropes. But they never mentioned that Alabama has been a right-to-work state since 1953. Even if the RWDSU wins this election, no one will be forced to pay dues to the RWDSU.
Right.
It will be a choice. You will get to choose whether or not you want to be a member of the union, whether or not you want to pay union dues, or if you don't. But that's not the impression you get from Amazon's propaganda. And as I say, lots and lots of other standard anti-union tropes, but they hear them not just at the captive meetings, as you say. They get, every day they're getting multiple anti-union text messages on their phones. Every day they walk through past anti-union billboards and displayed within the workplace, including some human billboards walking through the workplace. Every day they're pulled into these one-on-one anti-union meetings with consultants or supervisors or management. So it really is relentless. They can't even go to the stalls in the bathroom
Yeah.
to escape the anti-union propaganda.
It's crazy. No, and it's something we've been talking about for a while. So last question I've got for you. Is the PRO Act something that would be helpful in this or
Oh,
harmful?
sure. It would be tremendously helpful. And I mean, it's kind of like you said about the Amazon campaign. Those of us, and you know this again better than me, but I was very involved with the EFCA campaign, and that you learn to be sort of like pessimistic about these things. But this time kind of feels a little bit different, because we have a president who clearly it appears like he's prepared to spend real political capital on trying to get this thing passed. And we really have never experienced before what kind of reform is possible when that happens, when you have a president who genuinely gets it. And this means so the PRO Act, yes, would prohibit captive audience meetings. It would require the anti-union law firms who are often behind the scenes running the show to file financial reports with the Department of Labor. It would prevent employers using delay, deliberate delay during the NLRB process as a stalling tactic, to prolong the anti-union campaign and to disrupt the momentum of the organizing campaign. It would do a, it would outlaw state right to work laws. I mean, it would do a lot of things. And even if it ends up we only get some of the PRO Act, it will be tremendously helpful just in taking the fear out of the situation, increasing the penalties for discrimination against, pro-union workers within the workplace. I think, having a president who's prepared to use the bully pulpit of the office to defend unions and collective bargaining and say that every American deserves the dignity and respect that goes along with union representation, but then also being prepared to try and do whatever he possibly can in order either to get this entire bill or at least to get as much of it as we can, to give it the best shot possible. We've never really had that before.
Nope.
Despite the, we all know what the obstacles are, and we all know that the Chamber of Commerce and all of the, anti-union front organizations and, the Amazons and the Walmarts and everyone else will do everything they possibly can. Almost their number one legislative priority is always defeating any legislation that would help enhance, protect workers' right to choose a union, to give them a free and fair choice on, yep. on unionization. We know that. But, you know, I think we have to go in this. You know, there's a lot of people who 2 or 3 weeks ago thought it was impossible that Biden would actually come out and make that video. You know, to make a statement is as clear and unambiguous support for Amazon workers to have a free choice, to say things like, you know, supervisors should never be telling workers how to vote in a union election. Well, we know those supervisors are sure as heck not telling them to vote yes, you know. So, you know, by him saying that, it was very clear saying, you know, employers should not be engaged in this process. You know, this should be a choice that's made by workers and workers alone. And, you know, the PRO Act would go a long way to achieving that. But, you know, I really think that, you know, we have reason to be optimistic that, you know, this president really will do everything he can to deliver when it comes to giving workers a free choice.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope at the end of the month we see a victory at Amazon. And hopefully a wave of organizing across the country. That's how we rebuild the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization and give workers respect and dignity and empower them to make better choices. But, John, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. As always, good stuff, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rick, and enjoy the program.
Thanks, always. I appreciate it. John Logan, Professor and Director of Labor and Employment Studies there at San Francisco State University. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.